The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 17 degrees and sunny at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Matt Pescina, and here are today's headlines. Trying to keep pedestrians safe, alarming rates of burnout amongst Canadians, and getting Quebec food into Quebec classrooms. Today marks the beginning of the Pedestrian Month. To mark this event, three different Quebec police organizations held a press conference to remind us the importance of pedestrian safety. Felix, how is the situation of pedestrians in Quebec?
So the situation is not perfect in Quebec. Many kids were victims of accidents since they returned to school, which of course raises concern. Also, 525 pedestrians were victims from car collisions between 2019 and 2023. And among this figure, 16 deaths could have been prevented. What we mean by that is pedestrians that were not crossing at the right place, drivers that were distracted, etc. Deaths that could have been prevented. This is why Marwan Belfakid from the Quebec Automobile Insurance Corporation asked drivers and pedestrians to be more careful.
At a certain point, people need to understand that their safety is their responsibility, and the safety of others is their responsibility.
What should be done to improve pedestrian safety?
So according to Sandrine Cabala-Devani from Pedestrian Quebec, there are four main things that could be done. The first thing is to improve the road design so that it's safer. So we need more sidewalks, better signage, etc. The second thing is to reduce the speed. Slower speed means less road crashes, but also a reduced gravity of crashes. And the impact force would be lowered by a slower car. The third thing is a better behavior, so being more prudent for pedestrians and for cars. But you remind that if you're bigger, like a car, you have more responsibility than if you're a pedestrian. The last thing is that she believes that vehicle designs have been making cars bigger and bigger, which can mean that they are safer for the car owners, but not for pedestrians, as we can hear her.
Is it just cars posing the safety?
Inside, we did a lot of improvement for people inside the vehicle, but we're not taking into account the safety of people outside.
It's also heavy vehicles. We see heavy vehicles in the highway with trucks and everything, but they're also in the cities because they need to do their deliveries. And in cities, they are a danger because the streets aren't designed for them. As Captain Michael Yanichiello from Road Control told us, it can be dangerous.
It's pretty tight. So when you go around the corners and stuff like that, well, it could be very dangerous.
Globally, everybody I talked to seemed optimistic, and even though they said that work had to be done, they believed that we were heading in the right direction.
There is a problem with spending at the English Super Hospital in Montreal. The MUHC spent close to $250,000 on minor repairs in the past year, according to an Access Information report obtained by the Journal de Montréal. The report shows some concerning developments, including spending more than $7,000 to install two electrical outlets. The Glen site of the MUHC includes Royal Victoria Hospital, the Montreal Children's Hospital, and the Cedars Cancer Center. As of October 1st, the MUHC is limiting blood tests to patients. The change is meant to reduce the pressure on specialized care, but some say it's making healthcare more complicated. Rila Abdelkalik spoke with Dr. Michael Callan, who is part of a clinic in Côte Saint-Luc. He says the hospital's move is bad for patients.
Yeah, so it means patients have to go elsewhere for their testing, which is obviously confusing and frustrating. At the core, it's another barrier of care for patients and makes, you know, access more challenging. And one has to ask, since they're now restricting access to labs, when are they going to restrict access to other testing like imaging or specialists?
What would that mean to patients?
It means for patients that corridors of care that they've traditionally used may be closed. And it just creates more obstacles and more confusion for patients who wants something as simple as a blood test. In a public system where we're supposed to have access anywhere, it seems like we get less and less of that. And this is not supposed to be the model of care that we expect.
So what challenges do family doctors face with this policy, and how might it affect their ability to provide care for their patients?
So for family doctors, it's one less place we can send patients for testing. And again, it makes caring for patients more challenging, because in a public system, we seem to have places which are no longer publicly available. And one has to ask, how is a publicly funded institution like the MUHC denying access to the public?
So do you think the government should step in?
Absolutely. The MUHC is a $1 billion institution paid for by taxpayer money. I don't understand how taxpayers cannot get access. We pay for those services, yet we can't access them anymore.
Are there any alternatives or solutions you would suggest to improve access to blood testing services without creating any barriers?
It seems to be an incredibly dangerous and counterproductive path we are going in.
And that was Rewa Abdelkhalik speaking in Code St. Luke. It's never too early to plan for a crisis, especially when it comes to your own health. But according to a new study released by the Canadian Hospice Palliative Care Association, only 1 in 5 people in Canada have an advanced care plan in place. Gabrielle Meyer is here to tell us more. So Gabriella, what exactly is an advanced care plan?
It's a protective plan in place in the instance that a person becomes unable to advocate for themselves and their own health. Traditionally, we think of this in terms of seniors or elderly folks. However, the study says that it's never too early in the instances of like car accidents or things that we don't necessarily think about on a daily basis that can happen to us in any moment.
So why is it important to have an advanced care plan in place?
So according to the most recent report from Access to Palliative Care in Canada and the Canadian Institute for Health Information, they reported that 58% of Canadians who died between 2021 and 2022 received palliative care, which is on the increase, showing that the need for this care is on the rise. And like I said, it's never too soon to start planning, and we never know what can happen.
And what can people do to take proactive measures now?
So we can start by changing the discussion around death and dying. We can also just writing down like your wishes for your end of life, or if something were to happen, and sharing it with a trusted person in your life. Additionally, there's a resource on advanced care planning, which offers a guide on advancedcareplanning.ca.
Hotel employees are demanding that the new law on temporary foreign workers in Quebec is reversed. The new law announced this past week sets a threshold for the hotel sector to allow 10% of its workers to be considered temporary. A survey conducted by the Quebec Hotel Association shows that kitchen assistants and receptionists are among the highest vacancies in the sector. The concern behind this development is that if the new law sets the temporary workers cap at 10%, then the positions will be even tougher to fill. A new study reveals that nearly 70% of Canadian workers show warning signs of burnout, with 24% reporting actual burnout in the past year. The high rates are alarming for Canadian workers, particularly in high-stress sectors like healthcare. Amelia Limagiano has the story.
Even though 24% reported burnouts, the rates have improved since the pandemic, as the rates were up to 35% in 2021. Psychologist Lori Betito has more to say on this.
So over time, people, if they didn't take care of it, their bodies can shut down. You know, it's like causing major depressive episodes, major anxiety disorders, and then the consequences they have to get off work. Otherwise, they will fall apart.
In hopes for a better future for the Canadian workers, Betito says that mental health needs to be prioritized more.
Well, I think focusing on mental health and checking in with employees on their mental health, having services in place, having psychologists that they can talk to, making sure that is easily available to workers.
The city is hoping for the numbers to keep improving as workers focus more on their mental health. Reporting from Montreal, this is Amalia Lemesianu for CJCA News.
Forest fire season may be over in Quebec, but fire prevention measures in senior homes in Montreal are being talked about. The Committee on Public Safety held a meeting this morning, and Hannah Beach joins us live from the press conference at City Hall. So Hannah, what was this public meeting about?
This public meeting was about the over 200 private seniors residences in Montreal and the efforts being made to make them more safe. So the presentation mentioned was voiced by the Montreal Fire Department, and they're talking about how they've improved measures since 2023 to make it more fire safe.
What did the fire department find out, and are they doing better than last year?
So in some respects, these residences are performing better. Of the fire drills performed in the first half of 2024, 1 in 5 failed, which is better than the 50% failure rate in 2023. But also, in 2024 already, in the first 6 months, there's been 83 residences inspected, as opposed to 100 the previous year for the entire year. So things are slowly improving.
And what did citizens who attended the meeting have to say?
There was quite a few citizens, all of elderly age, who were quite indignant about the issues that they see in RPAs in Montreal. One resident, Bruce Walker, was quite frustrated about the number of false alarms in his residence in Westmount. And he was asking for changes to be made on the sensitivity levels of alarms, essentially to ask for the city to do better, the fire department to do better in taking care of their residents.
Thank you, Hannah. The Association of McGill Professors of Law has officially canceled its strike. This comes after months of picketing at McGill University, as the university formed a legal challenge in an attempt to not recognize the union officially. Just this week, the administration sent an email to law students stating that classes would be canceled shortly if an agreement with the university was not reached. McGill responded by saying that it would drop its legal case of the faculty's right to unionize. Classes are expected to begin no later than Thursday. Airplane Foods' number one competitor might just be school cafeteria meals. But following the announcement of a $1.5 million investment in school initiatives for local food access, the ranking might change. Lena, what really is this initiative about? Will it just be better the offer local foods across Quebec schools?
Well, yes and no. So the selected projects that will benefit from the $1.5 million funding aren't just for school cafeterias. I talked to Frédéric Terrien, who's the general director of M361, the social marketing firm in charge of selecting the projects. He says the initiatives are quite varied.
I believe it's a really good first step. It's obviously not a lot if you think about all the farms that are on our territory in Quebec. And often that money is more distributed close to big centers like Montreal or Quebec City.
I'm wondering, though, how will this benefit local farmers? Is $1.5 million enough?
Well, it's important to note that this funding is not at its first years. So some farmers have indirectly benefited from the funding in 2021 and 2022. And as it said, it will provide financial funding to 110 more schools. So although M361 distributes the funding across the province, there is a higher amount and demand from city centers. And this poses a challenge to local farms, such as Laurence Garot's biological farm, Cap-aux-Oies, in Charlevoix.
Some of them are like infrastructure in a school, like cafeteria and other project, more like teaching stuff, like learning where's the fruits from, meeting people grow all the food and stuff.
And given all this, what are the objectives of the funding? What can we expect?
So as Laurence Garot said, it's a bit difficult for her to realize how the funding will come to her in Charlevoix across city lines or across city centers. Now, the real objective of the project is education more than direct food access. It is getting people in schools to meet local farmers, for instance.
Thank you, Lena. Detroit's Jared Goff played a perfect game, a record for the ages in football. The Oilers clinched a victory against the Canucks last night after both teams blanked into a shootout. And MLB fans are grieving the loss of Pete Rose today. Zachary Chung has your sports.
You just heard Pete Rose from back in the glory days after he smashed his 4,196th home hit. Rose was the MLB's all-time hit record holder. He had 4,256 hits by the end of his career. The baseball legend passed away today at 83 years old. For fans of the 60s and 70s, no player was more exciting than Cincinnati's Charlie Hustle. Millions would never forget him running full speed even after drawing a walk, or sprinting and diving headfirst into the base. Rose's passing will have MLB fans in mourning as they enter the playoffs tonight. The Mets will face the Brewers in Milwaukee this week, while the Braves head west for a match with the Padres later today.
Scores here. And he does.
That was the Edmonton Oilers' Victor Arvidsson after he scored the final goal against Vancouver Canucks yesterday. The two teams blanked into overtime before heading to a shootout. Arvidsson's backhand finish is what brought the Oilers to a 3-2 victory. The Habs will be playing the Ottawa Senators tonight. Montrealers are still on the edge of their seats as they wait for an update on the sharpshooter Patrick Lane's injury. But there's one thing that we know for sure. It's going to be a while before we see him in uniform again.
Wide open! What a catch! It's a touchdown, I believe.
You just heard Jared Hoff make history as he finished 18 for 18 in Detroit's game against Seattle last night. We've been seeing amazing performances from Goff recently. The Detroit quarterback has nailed 36 out of 41 of his passes. That's an accuracy of 88%. He holds the second highest completion percentage of any quarterback in NFL history. And that's it for sports.
Thanks, Zachary. There is a saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. This may be one of those times where this should be true. A 43-foot statue of Donald Trump has been catching the attention of drivers traveling on Interstate 15 in what the Nevada Republican Party is calling a deplorable statue. Reports say that the statue will be moved across different swing states leading up to the November election. The giant figure was taken down Monday night. The mild weather is not ready to say goodbye in 2024. Temperatures will rise to a high of 18 degrees with rain showers tomorrow, but return to a high of 22 on Thursday and Friday with sun. It looks like we'll have a beautiful weekend with lots of sunshine and highs in the low 20s. That's your news till 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Matt Pescina.